and spent 3 days at SeaWorld and had lasagna on Thanksgiving. So we did not get our fill of turkey. So we'll be getting our turkey later on this next month, I'm sure. So. Yes, it was. Well, no, actually, we did the beef. I told Mama I was getting turkey lasagna, and she laughed at me. And I said, "But we," she told me, "it tastes the same anyway, so it's all good." So I'm filling in for Weldon this week. So you know, we've got to fill in. So bear with me as we go through our lesson this morning. We're going to be looking at Moses' sins. Is who are we going to be studying today? In Numbers chapter 20. For us to be able to look at the scripture this morning together. So I want to start off first by looking at our introduction here, is looking at all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, as we think about spiritual leaders, we often think about them being, you know, not accustomed to sinning. And Moses was one of those leaders that led his people, and we wouldn't associate really him sinning to the point of, you know, him being able to be outcast from the land of Canaan. So, you know, when we think about our spiritual leaders, we sometimes hold them at a higher regard, but all humans, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we think about other spiritual leaders in the Bible, who else comes to mind that, you know, had a little sidestep? Anybody? Abraham. What did Abraham do? He lied. Who else?
Peter.
Peter is one of my favorite examples for, you know, him denying Christ right after the supper there, denying Christ three times after the rooster crows and being able to do that. When I was at Freed, they did a study there on Wednesday night about, you know, who we wanted to speak with or who we wanted to talk with when we got to heaven. And I often thought about, you know, I want to ask Peter, what were you thinking? But as I've matured over the years and gotten a lot grayer, I've come to the realization is I don't want Peter re-asking that question, well, what were you thinking with you sinning as much as you are myself in this world in which we live? So, you know, we all come fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God and being able to be able to live up to his expectation. Who else? Anybody else have anybody? I feel like I'm talking to one side here. Maybe they need to move over. Bathsheba, David, King David. Yes, King David is another one. King David was who God quoted him as what? A man after his own heart. So, you know, he had the heart, but the sinning nature of man pulled him away in being able to make him, sin. And in that regard, so there's some great examples there. You know, the other one I think about often is Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve walking in the garden with God and being able to enjoy that beautiful place that they provided them to be able to enjoy, and being able to have that walking with God and then having, you know, them fall short in the garden and being able to not be able to be outcast from the garden forever. To be able to do that. So yeah, there's some great examples there that we often sometimes hold our spiritual leaders at a much higher level, expectation level, with regards to where they should be performing and where they should be at with regards to where we are in the world today. And I love Romans 3:23 because it really hones in the point that, you know, we've all fallen short. You know, I fall short every day. Being a dad of three girls is very stressful at times. Do we have four? All under the age of 10. So, you know, it's a challenge. So, you know, there's times that dad loses his temper, and, you know, I've had to, apologize and come clean with my girls a couple times. But we're going to look at the life in the wilderness. You know, this is a great heading here about how the book describes the wilderness. You know, they're out in the wilderness. That's where we're going to pick up our lesson, is that they're still on that last year of their walking through the wilderness and wandering through the wilderness. And I love the description here that the book uses. It talks about the wilderness is where the Israelites wandered, was not a place of thick groves or trees hindering their progress. In the Bible, wilderness is a deserted place, a place where people have trouble growing crops and keeping livestock. Israel wandered in a barren, forsaken land where starvation was a constant threat, and had not a return to Kadesh at regular intervals for water, they would have hardly survived. So it's a very barren land in which they're wandering for 40 years out there with regards to how they've been sent out there to deal with. And water is a staple of life, right? We all need water to live. And if without water, we can only last, I think it's 7 days. 7 days with water, I think food is what? Food is a lot longer. So water, I think, is 7 days. Is what it, 3 days? Well, 3, 7, something. Very short time frame that we could to die, and the body starts shutting down on us with regards to not having the water. Kadesh is, like I said, the land, the wilderness of Zin, being out there in no man's land. You're really under the stars, desert, deserted land. Kadesh is what the book described as an oasis area for them to be able to wander, to be able to go get water, to be able to water the herds and the animals, and then be able to start their wandering again. The book also indicates this is probably the last time they're coming to Kadesh for this time frame as they're coming through, because they're coming to that end of the 40-day time frame, 40-year wilderness wander there. When we talk about the wilderness, what else what was life like in the wilderness? What was their main staple for food? What did God provide? Manna, and they had to go out and actually gather manna to be able to do that on a daily basis for enough manna for them to be able to have and sustain life. So they had to gather day supply. What else did God supply them with? Their clothes never wore out is right. That's the other point, is their clothes never wore out. But food-wise, too, God provided them quail, right? Quail out there for them to have meat, protein. But their clothes never wore out, as Bobby indicated there for them. And Canaan laid before them. The 40 years were coming to an end at this point in time. So we are looking at the tail end of them entering in, the last leg here, of entering in into Canaan, the promised land. Let's look at our first five verses of Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, and we'll read that together. I can't read that small print, so I need to... Who printed that so small? Yes, please. All right, thank you, Doug. And we look at verse 1, it talks about again where we're starting from, and it's we're being in the land of Zin or the wilderness area there that they're traveling through in Kadesh. Several things are happening here with regards to what's taking place, and we'll look at those in just a minute here. But this date here, I want to read this quote from Mr. Roper. Although no date is mentioned, Coe D. Roper observed, the time was almost certain that the first month of Israel's last year of the wilderness. So we're actually seeing the last time that we're spending in the wilderness. This is the last 12 months of the time that they're spending here. And we'll also find in Numbers chapter 33 about Aaron, and it mentions it being the fifth month of the last year of their going through and wandering through the wilderness. So it is a time that they're looking for them to be able to get out of the wilderness and enter into that promised land. So that's where we are with regards to the timeline that we're talking about here. We are talking about that last year as they will enter into Canaan. What was the complaint against Moses? Excuse me, I'm jumping ahead here. So we've already talked about full circle here. In verses 2 and 5, what was the complaint against Moses? No what? No water, thank you. Thank you for speaking up. No water. And what else? Exactly. The complaints continue. We looked at last week about the complaints and the time frame for the time that they're out there. You know, they're just continually complaining about the situation, complaining about their dwellings, complaining about where they are. We're no better off than we were in Egypt. You know, that's what we looked at last week with regards to it being a time frame for them to be able to be out here, and how life is, you know, just awful, just terrible. And for them to be able to come through here. I like to also talk about where they complain about, you know, back what Egypt. You know, were they in Egypt at this time? No, they were gone through the whole generations. It cleared that whole generation at this point in time. So they don't know what Egypt was like in the bond of slavery there with Pharaoh. So they're fighting that battle there with regards to that being the part there that they're complaining about things they don't have any knowledge base with. And we can see some of that. You know, can you see that in your own life at times about where we are in our situation? We can always find, you know, some complaint. Complaints are free. You know, it's easy to find ourselves in complaining about where we are or what we've done or what somebody's done to us, and being able to do that. And it, you know, that's one of the, you know, things about, you know, the manliness, or the, you know, where we are, not the manliness, but the worldly side of it is that we sometimes need to step back and see where we are and understand where we are and understand that we're there for a purpose. And sometimes we need to understand that, you know, we're here in this place for maybe to help somebody else out, or to bring somebody else along, to be able to help somebody that's in need, to be able to do that instead of looking for ways to complain. It's easy to get caught up in the complaints. You know, at work I always complain, of people complain to me about work, or you know, there are always somebody that wants to complain about something. So, you know, you try to subject yourself and move yourself from that part of it to be able to focus on what it is that we're working on, what the mission is to be able to work toward. And that's really what we need to be looking at as Christians is, you know, sometimes where we are in life, It's tough. And we've got to find a way to get out of that and be able to focus in on where God wants us to be and how we can better the situation with where we are. So we're at the 40-year part. The passing of time didn't change the distribution of the Israelites. So it's, you know, they're fighting that battle there with regards to it. They're still in that mindset of complaints and being able to live through the world of the wilderness. In chapter 6, verses 6 and 8, let's see if I can read this. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and then and it will pour water, and pour out it water. It will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So we see God has a plan. God has a plan to be able to provide water for the people and being able to do that. But it was a very specific plan for Moses to be able to follow. When he went to the entrance of the tabernacle, I found this online and thought it was a pretty good description of where he was going. The door of the tabernacle was a hanging curtain in front of the sanctuary. The door was the sole entrance to the holy place. The scriptures state that it was comprised of the following colors: red, the white, blue, purple, and scarlet. The holy place was more holy than the outer courtyard, and the door provides the boundary of the separation. And what's taking place there is, you know, what did Moses do when the people started complaining?
He went to God
to find solutions in being able to do that. How did he go to God?
Humbly.
Humbly, and where? On his knees, face down. That's, you know, where you're looking at being able to see that, you know, where you're trying to, you know, show respect, or you're showing reverence to God. You know, he is able to see that where he's went to it and fell down face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. You know, what an awesome, awesome depiction of God appearing to Moses and being able to see that, and how that interacts with, you know, how we are interceded through Jesus to be able to get to God. You know, there's lots going on here with regards to being able to make that happen. What was Moses and what action did Moses and Aaron take after hearing the complaints of the people? We've already said that. They went to the tabernacle, fell face down, and approached God for direction. How do you think Moses and Aaron expected God to deal with this generation, based upon, you know, Chuck's lesson last week?
It makes the job a whole lot easier if the ground just swallows up all the
flames. I know. Wouldn't that be great? Just open that ground, swallow them up, close it back up, and take them out. But apparently didn't take out all of them, did it?
How long could it be another 40 years?
It could have been another 40 years. That's right. Because in the book it indicated that this is probably where the spies were sent in Kadesh, and being able to be sent in to look at the land of promise, come back with a good report. You know, so they're coming full circle with regards to that piece. So, you know, maybe, you know, he was tired of the complaints. I mean, 40 years of complaining. Can you imagine what that would wear on you? I can't take an hour. An hour is enough, about all I can take with complaining and being able to be able to. 30 minutes, and Mom says my attention, my tolerance level is like this right now with the house being tore up. We're living in two houses right now. We're living in Mom's house right now. We got our house tore up with the, I had to run home this morning, so you get pants, shoes, and everything to wear this morning to and be here before 9 o'clock. So it's a run morning. So my tolerance level is very low with my children right now. So sorry, we're digressing. I'm complaining.
It's also interesting for Moses, because here's somebody who never wanted the job again.
Exactly.
40 years.
Exactly. This is not a job that Moses wanted at all, as Chuck just indicated. That this is not something he asked for. You know, wasn't something he solicited and wanted to be doing, but God thrust him into that leadership role to be able to be that great leader. And you know, it's got to be, you know, without the comforts of home. You know, being in Orlando, coming home yesterday, you know, it's good to be home because you have the comforts of home and you know, the things that you're accustomed to having right there at your fingertips. You know, out in the wilderness, I mean, they had sand and stars, probably all that they had to have out there. And if you think about their, you know, diet, you know, that in itself would be complaints on my part with regards to manna, quail, and water, no soda. I know. Ouch. This lesson is over. Doug, can I see you out in the hallway? Oh, me. I need a drink after that one. Thank you, Doug. I appreciate that. Yes, school lunch is great.
You don't have much choice.
We don't. No, sir. It's just like the manna and the quail. Whole grain is a part of life there. So, all right. So getting back to our lesson here. In 7 and 8, let's look at that real quick. What was he supposed to take with him? God gave him specific directions on what he needed to follow to be able to provide relief. What were those directions? It's pretty simple. Take what? Your staff and your brother is about all that you needed to take, right? And then what did he need to do? Speak to the rock. In several chapters before, what did he need to do to the rock to get water? He didn't need to strike it at that point in time, but God's directions changed at this point in time, and he was told to speak to the rock to provide water. This is another quote from the book here. From Mr. Allen, he wrote, "He was in the glory, there he was in wonder. In the case, however, there was no fire, there was no judgment, there was no anger, there was no just a gentle word telling Moses to take his staff and go with Aaron to bring water from the rock to the thirsting community. While he was to take his staff, the symbol of this power through the Lord, he was merely to speak to the rock and it would give its water to its people. You know, that's what he was to do. And, you know, I thought that was a great depiction from Mr. Allen about what they needed to do. There was no glory here. There's no fire. There's no judgment. You know, all they were doing is coming together, and he needed to bring the community together, speak to the rock, and it would provide water. Let's look at in Numbers 9 through 13. Doug, you want to read that again for me, please? All right, thank you. And looking at verses 9 and 10, what was Moses' attitude toward the people? He was mad at them. He called them what? You rebels. You know, he's probably at that breaking point, you know, that I was talking about with my children, when they, keep going and keep going and keep going, and, you know, talks about how he was just probably fed up at this point in time with the people and their complaints. And, you know, and I think that's where, you know, where Moses maybe lost it, may have, this is just Kevin's thoughts here, on how he approached what God told him to do versus what he did with regards to it. But, you know, there's consequences when it comes to sin with regards to what taking place there. So, you know, Moses' attitude, he was not happy with the people. You can see that, and you can hear that through him calling them rebels and calling them out with regards to them, how he speaks to them. Did Moses follow God's instructions? We know that. No. He spoke to the rock. He was supposed to speak to the rock. Instead, he tapped the rock or struck the rock with his rod. But God still provided water, did he not? Chuck?
Well, the last verse, too, he said, must we bring water from this rock as opposed to must the Lord. Again, do something like bringing water. So he kind of lost. Mm-hmm.
Done.
Yeah. So he may have just, he was at his breaking point. And when he said that, his mind was not where it needed to be, because the water didn't come forward because of the what he said, or because right. He struck with a rock. It's because the God, I mean, it was a rock. Rocks do not have water.
No.
And so, it was obvious it was going to be from the Father, but it was, Moses had just gotten to
That's you're hitting it right on the spot there. His head wasn't where it needed to be. His focus wasn't needed to be where it needed to be. He wasn't focused on what God instructed him to do, and giving honor and glory to God was really what he was really the sign of what he should have been doing with the people. When it comes to that, he didn't, you know, one of the verses used hallowed, he didn't hallowed him. One of the versions that uses that, you didn't honor it, or you didn't respect God, and you took the attention off, like what Chuck was saying, you took the attention off God and put it back on Moses. And that's where he faltered in with regards to that piece. Mm-hmm.
Now, he got onto Moses later, but the people weren't none the wiser.
we can see it in hindsight. But it's interesting, he didn't follow the rules, and yet God still used him to take care of his people. There's something there, I'm not sure what all.
Yeah. No.
Because it was a catch 22. If he hadn't done it, now God looks like what? Or Moses would fall under. Maybe there was more fallout if he hadn't brought forth the water.
No, it's very interesting. And I don't know that the people knew the instruction. It may have just been Moses, Aaron knew the instruction of what they were to do in speaking to the rock versus striking the rock.
I don't, it's important for us. We know it. It's just yeah. Interesting line of thought there, what if.
There's a lot of what ifs in there.
I wonder what Aaron
was. I'm telling you, what are you doing, Moses? That's not what God told you to do. Yes, Bobby.
A lot of times we think we could change the Lord's mind. And that's one good thing right there. He could have said, Moses, all right, I'm going to forgive you for that. But to show you, and we tell everybody, God has a plan. Please, we've got to go with him. He's right. You know, we can't change it. But yet, we think we can change him. But I don't think we could ever change him. What he's going to do.
No,
mm-hmm. It's a wonder, it's a miracle. But being that he knows the beginning, he knows the present, and he knows the end, he knows we're going to pray for them people. He knows what we're going to do before we even do it. So back then, he knows that, you know, we're going to pray for this person's sick or something. And so many come up there and pray, and he's saying back then, he makes his choice. Not that we're going to pray now and then. They don't realize that it's already done. Stone since the beginning, it's going to happen because him knowing everything.
God,
change it, he set stone, you know?
God is all knowledgeable and knows what our choices are going to be, but he gives us the freedom to make those choices. And, you know, just like going back with Adam and Eve, you know, they had a choice to make, they had a perfect place to live. And, you know, when I think about them, you know, they didn't know what sin was even like back at that point in time. It wasn't until they ate of the tree of the good and evil that they understood good and evil, because all they knew was good, what God had provided them in the garden. But yeah, I mean, it's giving us a choice allows us to know, you know, what path we're going to take, and it's laid out for us, just like what it tells us in the scripture, what we need to do to be saved, what we need to do to be able to be a Christian, to follow him. I mean, that's pretty clear on what we need to do, and being able to make sure that that comes into play. Well, I think I've had many of it is at that pure stage. It's undefiled at that point in time. And, you know, for them to waver or choose a different path, you know, that's, that has a lot of.
He knows that path we're going to take. He knows what choice.
But we still have choices. He's not going to interfere. He's not going to interfere and intercede for us with regards to making choices.
It's a little distressing, though, after 40 years to see how little their faith
has
really grown.
Yeah. You mean 3,000 years? You mean 3,000 years?
Well, 3,000 years. But this way, this is 40 years in the wilderness. And they came from being in a pagan environment, really didn't know God that well, to 40 years of being immersed with God there. Building your faith, putting your faith in God, because if you don't, you're going to end up like these people.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it goes back to, you know, we're talking about, you know, Peter earlier, you know, walking and talking with Christ on a daily basis. And, you know, all it took was, and he even knew it was coming. That's what amazes me with Peter, is that he knew it was coming. And he's going to deny him three times, and he did. And you know, even knowing him being able to withstand that, he just couldn't muster it. And, you know, it's just a part of the path, or the part of the journey that took us where we needed to get to. All right. Going back to there, he drew attention from to himself and away from God. You know, that's where we're focusing on there with regards to that. So it was focused on Moses, not on God being the center point. And that's where we needed to make sure that we stay on that center line, looking at God being that directional for our own lives. You know, when we start putting ourselves first, that's when we start faltering and falling further away from God. You know, there's times that, you know, you grow really close to God, and there's times that you sometimes drift back on how good we're doing and how good things are going on, and, you know, then you drift back to God. You know, it's a constant growth going on here with regards to the people. It goes back to Chuck's point with, you know, you would think through the signs and through what they've gone through, their lifestyle or their dedication to God or their focus on God would have grown, and it didn't. Necessarily here with regards to them being in the wilderness. Gordon explains that Moses' failure to carry out the Lord's instructions precisely was as much as an act of unbelief as the people failed to trust God's promise instead of the spies' pessimistic report in Numbers 14. You know, it's still that unbelief that took place here with regards to the people here in their wondering. Both were punished and excluded from the land of promise. Because Aaron helped Moses, he received the same, yes, thank you, of the one who occurred many years earlier. But when we look at the application for our own life, you know, God is a gracious and merciful and made provisions for his people. He also allows us to choose our own path. And that's where we're talking with Bobby about where we are in our walk, in our life, in being able to make sure we're choosing a path that's leading us to the cross, that's going to take us to heaven. You know, sometimes we think about, you know, that we have that grace with Christ here to help intercede on our behalf. When Mike first came here, he used the example about a speeding ticket, about how, you know, I remember in my youth driving from Kansas to Georgia one time, and I got pulled over with an overhead, you know, aerial police, sitting in the front seat with Dad and having to explain, you know, getting pulled over there and having to pay a fine. I didn't have the money to pay the fine, but through the grace of Dad paying my fine for me, allowed us to continue on that trip. You know, that's the same, you know, a simple example of what God has done for us with grace and how it allows us to be able to choose that path and choose the way of Christ and being able to keep that relationship. He allows his people to choose the path, and we sometimes merit and sometimes we falter with regards to how we handle situations. But God allows us to be able to make that choice. The second point is, you know, as such a great man as Moses, he was still human. Moses was subject to the same temptations that are common to us all. You know, we all have to face that. You know, we all are having to, you know, face sin and face temptations that come at us. And we need to realize that, you know, we all falter, and it's not easy. And it's not easy at times to be able to make ways. But, you know, we need to stay the course through the grace of Jesus Christ. It brings us back into that relationship with Christ, and that we have that provision to be able to seek forgiveness of sins in our lives. And that's a great lesson for us all to make sure as we're walking and talking and working with folks, that people see Christ living in us. Are we going to be perfect all the time? No. We're going to falter. We're going to sin. But we're trying to live that life worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to leave you with today, is that, you know, keep on walking. Keep on with your walk. Keep on with what you're doing with regards to being in Bible class, being here at worship, being here with each other, and being able to focus our attention with one another and encouraging one another. Because it takes all of us to get, it's going to get to heaven, because it's going to take us all encouraging one another to be able to do that. And that's where I want to leave it with you this week. I'm sorry I'm running a little ahead. There wasn't a whole lot other than Moses sinned to work with, but we are there. Next week is two crises, Numbers 20, 14 through 29. That will be Doug teaching Bible class next week. This was our Shamu experience. It came up spitting water at us right in front of our face. Great time at SeaWorld this week with regards to it, and being able to see just God's creation at a whole different level, real close and personal. So thank you all. Have a great week, and we'll see you in worship here.